The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In order to understand the gospel read on this Sunday, we need first to listen to some words of Jesus which lead up to it. Jesus says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." In preparing this past week to preach on these words, I consulted a book whose title is The Hard Sayings of Jesus. The Hard Sayings of Jesus. And I doubt that anybody would disagree with me when I say that these words are most certainly among the hard sayings of Jesus. "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, these words are just one part of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And St. Matthew tells us when Jesus finished that sermon, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, the crowds were not just astonished. They were, in fact, alarmed by his teaching. And perhaps we too are alarmed by these words of Jesus. "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." So what are we to make of these words? How should we understand them and apply them to ourselves? And even more, what comfort can we find in the face of this relentless demand for righteousness in the eyes of God? The answer to these questions begins by remembering who it is that is speaking these demanding, even alarming words. More than 500 years before the coming of Christ, at the time when the Babylonians took the city of Jerusalem and carried its people off into exile in Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah had foretold the coming of a descendant of King David, whose very name would be, "The Lord is our righteousness." The Lord is our righteousness. And now that prophecy of Jeremiah had found fulfillment in Jesus, who speaks these words. And not only Jeremiah's prophecy, but everything that had been written by the prophets is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus himself says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And when Jesus speaks of fulfilling the law and the prophets, he means the entire Hebrew scriptures, everything that had been written about him in the entire Old Testament. Yes, the Lord Jesus had not come to abolish that older revelation of God. He had come to fulfill it, not only the commandments of God written therein, but in fact everything that pointed forward to him. Jesus' whole life and mission was determined by those ancient scriptures which had been inspired by God the Holy Spirit. And this is what we mean when at every divine service we say in the Nicene Creed that the Holy Spirit is the one who spoke by the prophets, or to put that more clearly, the one who spoke through the prophets. All that the prophets had spoken concerning God and human beings, all that they had spoken concerning a people living under God's promise of mercy, reaches its goal and finds its fulfillment in Christ. Jesus fulfilled the written word of God, the law and the prophets. He lived and he taught and he died and he rose again, according to the scriptures, as we also say in the Nicene Creed. According to the scriptures, meaning in fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures, the law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament. So Jesus, who speaks these words, is himself the fulfillment of all that had been written. God had given to his ancient people Israel the Ten Commandments, which sum up God's will for human beings. But neither God's ancient people Israel nor any of the peoples of the whole world have ever been able to live in perfect harmony with those commandments. And the Lord Jesus himself makes that crystal clear when in his Sermon on the Mount he teaches not just the literal outward meaning of God's commandments, but also their inward and spiritual meaning. And so, as we heard in today's gospel, the Lord Jesus shows that the fifth commandment, "You shall not murder," doesn't just forbid actually killing someone. It also forbids the angry thought and the wounding word, as well as the murderous hand. And Jesus goes on to explain that when the sixth commandment forbids adultery, what's forbidden is not only the adulterous act, but also the impure thought and the lustful look. And when we consider all this, as we hear this teaching of Jesus, we come to realize that no human being has ever lived in perfect conformity with the will and the law of God. No one but the Lord Jesus, who lived in perfect conformity with the whole will of the Heavenly Father, and then suffered in his body on the cross the judgment we all deserve because of our disobedience in thought and word and deed. And so, the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is no righteousness of our own. It is the righteousness of Jesus himself. It is Jesus to whom the prophet Jeremiah had given that wonderful name, "The Lord is our righteousness." That perfect righteousness of Jesus is yours. That perfect righteousness of Jesus is mine through faith in him. As we sing in the old hymn, "Jesus' blood and righteousness my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand, when I shall reach the heavenly land." St. Paul put it this way: God has done what the law, weakened by our sinful nature, could not do, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, through faith in Jesus, who is our righteousness. So if we ask, how do we then take the law of God seriously? We take the law of God seriously by taking seriously the wonderful fact that the Savior has come who has fulfilled the law for us and in our stead, and who as the innocent Lamb of God took our place under the just judgment of God. And having been thus loved without any merit or worthiness on our part, we love him. We love God, and we love one another because we have been so loved. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. At first glance, that is indeed a hard, even an alarming saying of Jesus. But hidden in these words, because of the one who speaks them, is also the exceedingly good news that the Lord who speaks these words is the gracious Lord who, through his holy life, through his bitter suffering and death, through his glorious resurrection, freely gives us the perfect righteousness that is his when we take him at his word and trust that word as sure and certain, the word of him who bears the name, the Lord is our righteousness. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.